Scripture. I'm going to read from Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Malinga will be teaching from the book of Matthew in chapter 22, but this passage relates to the text in which he'll be teaching us today. And I read, "On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. 'Teacher,' he asked, 'what must I do to inherit eternal life?' 'What is written in the law?' he replied. 'And how do you read it?' He answered, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself.' 'You have answered correctly,' Jesus replied. 'Do this and you will live.' But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' And Jesus replied, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of a robber. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. As a priest happened to be going down the same road, when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw the man, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber?" The expert of the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This morning, we have, again, as I mentioned, a great privilege for me to introduce to you Pastor Malinga Chella. Malinga was a first student of one of our first students at North Rise University. And again, for those of you who are not aware of North Rise University is a Christ-centered university, the first private university in Zambia, Africa, and opened in 2004. And Grace Fellowship Church, this church, has been supporting North Rise University from the very beginning. So we are grateful for that. Malinga received an associate degree in theology, and I hope I've got my facts right, Malinga. He started a church. Today he's pastoring a church of 400 people in a small town, a mining town with high unemployment, and yet they're coming there to worship. Malinga is now back at North Rise University to finish up his bachelor's degree in theology, so he's doing that as well. And the first time I met Malinga and heard him speak, I knew God had gifted him with preaching. And so it's a great pleasure this morning for me to have Malinga Chella, who's, by the way, never been on an airplane, flew for his first time on an airplane, never been out of Zambia, flew over the continent of Africa, flew over the ocean, and came to America. Had to be quite a thing. So, Malinga Chella, please come and teach us the Word of God.
Good morning, Grace. It's a rare privilege for me to stand before you this morning and be able to share the Word of God with you. I would like to take this opportunity to acknowledge and thank the pastor for Grace Fellowship Church, Mark Page, and his family for having invited me all the way from Africa, Zambia, paying my air tickets, and welcoming me to the wonderful homes of the various people that I've met. By the way, you are lovely people. Among the things that I've enjoyed as I've come here, above all the beauty that God has given to your nation, the roads, the infrastructure, the food, I've enjoyed most the fellowship with the people that I've been meeting. I am grateful to the Lord for you, and may the Lord continue to bless you. I'm also grateful to the Lord for how he's blessed you as a church. I've had the opportunity of talking to Pastor Mark, Pastor Dave, and their spouses, and it's so grateful just to see men and women who love the Lord, who have got pure hearts in serving the Lord, who serve the Lord with humility of hearts, with simplicity, and their hearts are pure from the desires and the pleasures of this world. I believe you are blessed. There are very, very few pastors like that, and I'm honored to meet them here in America. Today, I'm going to share on the subject I've entitled, Living to Love. Living to Love. As we live in life, many other times we come to a point where we start asking ourselves, what's the purpose of life? Why am I here? What's the reason for living? And I believe the best place we can go in order for us to answer that important, vital question is the Bible. So today, that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at the Bible. We're going to look at an example from the Bible of a person who lived such a life. We're going to look, lastly, at my personal example, and from then we'll close. Reading from Matthew chapter 22, verse 34 up to 40, the Bible reads, Matthew chapter 22, verse 34 to 40, the Bible reads, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert of the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." The book of Matthew was written in AD 58 by Matthew, one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his main purpose for writing the book of Matthew was to show that Jesus Christ is a promised king of the coming kingdom. And the Bible tells us of a time when the Lord Jesus Christ was being interviewed and asked by Pharisees and teachers of the law. And one of them approached him, as we have read, and asked him to say, which is the greatest commandment? Jesus, being the greatest teacher that he was, and he still is today because he's alive and living, said these words, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." The Lord Jesus Christ went on and told him that the first and the most important commandment above every other is love, is living a life of loving. He told him that in order for you to please God the most, in order for you to do what is required, that would be able to fulfill all the other commandments, is by living a life of loving. Quoting from Gill's commentary from the Electronic Word Bible on Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, he says, "Loving God with all the powers and the faculties of the soul, the will, the understanding, and the affections in the most sincere, upright, and perfect manner, without any dissimulation and hypocrisy, and above all objects, is the meaning of Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. I read again. Loving God with all the powers and the faculties of the soul, the will, the understanding, and the affections in the most sincere, upright, and perfect manner, without any dissimulation and hypocrisy. This is the meaning of life. This is the purpose of life, living to love. When we look at the Bible, we have a perfect example of a person who lived a life of loving. And this is found in Matthew, in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 6 to 8. Let's read there, please. Romans, chapter 5, verse 6 to 8. The Bible reads in Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 8. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this way. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he lives to demonstrate his love for us. The Bible says that while we were still sinners, he died for us. While we were still sinners, he shed his blood for us on the cross of Calvary. In other words, this is how the Lord Jesus Christ lived his life on earth. He lived to love. When he walked on the face of the earth, his main goal, his main desire, his main ambition was to love us. And he demonstrated his love in the greatest and the most painful way that anyone could ever show it. He demonstrated it by dying on the cross of Calvary, by being pierced with nails through his hands and feet, by dying and hanging there on the cross of Calvary until he breathed his last breath. And when he was dying there on the cross of Calvary, I believe he was saying, I love you. I'm thinking about you. I care for you. I'm dying to take away your sins. And there is no greater way that anyone could demonstrate his or her love to a person. And that's how Jesus lived. He dedicated his life to loving us. He dedicated his life. He dedicated his body. He dedicated everything that he had to live a life of loving you and me. That's why we read in the Bible from the book of John chapter 3 verse 16 that for God so loved the world, for God so loved you and me, for God so much loved us that he gave his one and only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Jesus lived to love. That was his purpose for life. Moving on from there, let me share a little bit of my story. And for us who'll be able to come for the banquet, you'll be able to hear the whole story. I was falsely imprisoned in a foreign nation, that is Tanzania, that is a neighboring nation to Zambia. And when I was falsely imprisoned, the main reason basically was I got into a stolen car that this person had invited me in, and the police officers arrested us and thought I had connived with him in stealing the vehicle. So I ended up staying in prison for 2 years. African prisons compared to American prisons is like comparing a five-star hotel to an ordinary kind of lifestyle. So African prisons are bad. When I was there in the Tanzanian prison, the person who had deceived me and conned me and asked me to get into his car, which I got in and finally led me into prison, was there with me. The man was an international criminal, by the way. I didn't know that. I came to know that in prison. And he had conned me. So while in prison, the man had attempts of escaping out of prison. And in his attempts, he failed and he decided to end his life. So he took some medicine and instead of dying, God preserved his life and he became unconscious for 2 weeks. And of course, you know, when a person is unconscious, they cannot go to the restroom. They cannot help themselves in that kind of way. And he could not talk. He could not eat. And by then, this man had made enemies with almost everyone in prison. He had made enemies with the most fierce prisoners in prison, including the prison officers. And when he was in that situation, nobody wanted to care for him. Nobody wanted to feed him. All of the people in prison were saying, let us let him die because he's such a wicked man. I remember during those times, the prison officer in charge of the entire prison called me and told me these words. He said, Mulenga, we know that you are a pastor. We've seen how this man has deceived you and you've ended up in prison and you've suffered very much. But now that he's unconscious, we are encouraging you not to help him. Simply let him die. Because once you let him, you leave him alone and let him die, it will show to the police officers, the magistrates, and everyone else around that you are not his ally in all of his criminal activities. So, with that sincere advice, I am grateful to the Lord for, because when I was going into prison, I had the rare privilege of walking into prison with a Bible. And that Bible, I read it every day. And from the word of God, I got strength. I got encouragement. I received counsel. I sensed the presence of God. And guess where that Bible came from? From sponsors and friends of North Rise Universities who packaged up little Bibles and sent them over to Africa, Zambia. And I received one of those Bibles. If it were not for that Bible, I would not be here today. I would have lost my life. Thank you for your contributions and support. As I continued reading the Bible, I came across Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, where the Bible says these words, love your enemy, pray for those that persecute you. And I was faced with a difficult situation. Either I should obey the word of God and love my enemy and care for him and feed him and suffer. You know, feeding a person who's unconscious is difficulty. And at the end of the day, be convicted together with him, possibly, for his criminal activities for a period of 10 years, or I should disobey the word of God and possibly be released and be relieved from all the suffering of caring for him. It was a very, very difficult decision for me to make. But I'm grateful for the grace of God and his love. For he compelled me by his grace and his grace alone to love my enemy. And caring for him became my responsibility. I had to take his clothes, wash them, even though he could not go to the restroom. I had to wash his body. I had to feed him and pray for his recovery. And that was a difficult time for me. It was a difficult time as I spent my time in prison, the most difficult places of all. And during those moments, I started thinking to myself, what's life? What's the meaning and the purpose of life? When you are in a situation where you are imprisoned, you are eating bad food, you are eating in a tiny, you are sleeping on a tiny 1 meter mattress, 3 people, and the food you are eating is horrible. What's the meaning of life when you are suffering? What's the meaning of life if you don't have the pleasures and the luxuries of life that every other man and woman longs for in life? It was in those hard and difficult moments that I came to understand that life is an opportunity. It's an opportunity that God gives to us to love, to serve, to honor God and mankind. Even though I was in prison and did not have all the luxuries and the pleasures of life, and I was suffering and the environment was bad, yet God had given me a rare opportunity to love, to serve, to honor God and my enemy. And as I continued caring for this man, cleaning him up, feeding him, I continued telling God from the depth of my heart, saying, Lord, I love you. Lord, this is my expression of love to you. As I care for this man, I'm doing it for you. I love you. I'm thinking about you. I love you. And as I went on saying those words, I felt the presence of God. I felt the peace of God. I felt the joy of God. I felt a sense of fulfillment. Life is about loving. Once a person lives his or her life focused on themselves, it becomes empty. It becomes unsatisfying. And the only way a man or a woman here on earth can live a satisfied life is living it to love, to serve, to honor God and people that surround them. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ went on and said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. You might be here, you might be going through problems. Maybe the environment that you are in is difficult. You might be going through problems. It might not be imprisonment, but it might be various problems that are hard and pressing on you. But I'm encouraging you as a child of God to rise up and focus on God and focus on loving him, serving him, and honoring him. And as you do that, God will continue filling you with his joy, with his peace. He'll fill you with a sense of fulfillment and satisfaction. Even though things around you might be haywire and may not be going well for you, I tell you, God will make things well for you as you continue to live in love with him. That's the best kind of life you could ever live. Live to love the Lord. Live to love him with everything that is within you. remembering the words of David from Psalms chapter 63, verse 1 to 3, where he gets to a point where he starts saying, "Oh Lord, thou art my God. Earnestly do I seek you. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs after you in a dry and weary land where there is no water, that I may behold your glory and your power. For your loving kindness is better than life." David got to a point where he longed for the Lord, where his soul thirsts for the Lord, where his body panted after God. He loved the Lord God Almighty with everything that was within him, and that led him through. Love God. As we are here today, I'm encouraging you to realign your motives, your purpose for living, and get to a point where you live in love with God. Isn't it amazing how a man or a woman falls in love? I mean, when you are in love with a lady or a man, you get to a point where you don't care about what's surrounding you. The only thing that matters is your beloved one. And once you are in that state, you feel joy, peace, and happiness. Well, there's true love in God. And once you get to a point of loving the Lord God Almighty with everything that is within you, you live the best kind of life that you can ever live. In conclusion, I'm grateful for the Lord for giving me this prayer privilege of being here. The rare privilege of standing before you today and traveling all the way from Zambia and standing before you, before Grace Fellowship Church. A church that lives to love. A church that lives to love the Lord God Almighty with all of its heart, soul, strength. That lives to love the living God and other people. I am grateful that as you've lived to love the Lord your God, we in Zambia at Northrise University have been beneficiaries of your expression of love to God. As you've lived to give your finances, as you've lived to support Northrise University, as you've lived to come over to lecture us at Northrise University, as you've lived to encourage Moffat and Doreen in their vision, even when they were here, you were loving to them, encouraging to them, supportive of them. And as you continue giving us Bibles and other material that we use at Northrise University, we are grateful because we continue to benefit from your great love for the Lord. We are grateful that as you continue expressing that love, I and many other Zambians are benefiting. May the Lord bless you for your love to him. And as I'm about to conclude, I'm encouraging you. If you are here, you do not know the Lord. You are here, you have not fully dedicated your life to God. I'm encouraging you to realign your motives and your purpose for living. Maybe you might be going through difficult times and challenges. I'm encouraging you to focus your eyes on God, the author and the finisher of your faith. Live your life for him. Dedicate your life to love him with everything that is in you. And as you love the Lord your God, he will make a way out for you. Guess what? When I lived to love my enemy in such a manner, when the time of defense and judgment came, This very enemy of mine, the person that I loved and cared for in prison, who stood up in court and said these words, "This man is an innocent man. He does not know anything about these charges that you've given to me. I simply carried him in the vehicle as a passenger." And those words opened the door for my freedom. Guess what would have happened if I disobeyed the word of God and did not live a life of loving? I would have ended up being in prison, 10 years in prison. But because I submitted to the word of God and to the will of God and lived to love, it opened the door for my freedom. It opened the door for me to come over to America to simply share that very testimony. Love the Lord God Almighty with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. As you live each day of your life, live it as an expression of love to God. As you walk, as you do your work, as you take care of your family, as you live to serve God in whatever ministry you're in, tell God from the depth of your heart, "Lord, I'm doing this for you. This is an expression of my love to you. Lord, I'm thinking about you. Lord, I care for you. I'm responding to the love that you showed to me on the cross of Calvary when you died and shed your blood. And this is my response. And I'm saying, Lord, I love you." Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful for your love to us. We thank you that you love us so much that you gave your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come here on earth and die for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. That is how you demonstrated your love to us. And even as we are here, Lord, we pray, help us to understand the greatness of your love for us. And as we understand the greatness of your love for us, give us grace and strength to respond positively to your love and live a life of loving. Help us, everlasting God, that we may live to love you with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, with all of our strength, that we may live a life of serving you, a life of honoring you and the people that you bring around us. Father, we thank you for the greatness of your love. In Jesus Christ's name we've prayed. Amen.